It's a time of change at the Center for Practical Bioethics as the founding executive steps into a new role while a previous center executive returns as president and CEO. The two individuals involved join us now on the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center, visit practicalbioethics.org, practicalbioethics.org. Myra Christopher is the Kathleen M. Foley Chair for Pain and Palliative Care, and John Carney is President and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics. Myra, you're the Foley Chair. How does that sound after 27 years at the head of the Bioethics Center?
It sounds just right to me, and a little bit humbling because of the respect I have for Kathy Foley.
Now, you were very deliberate in making this move, in deciding to step aside as president and CEO. It wasn't done quickly, and it wasn't done lightly.
No. About 2 years ago now, I began a conversation in my family about my view that I had really done everything that I knew how to do for the center. It has been an amazing privilege to lead this organization from its inception to where it is today. But I did not come to this experiment we thought of it originally with any background or experience in business development or organizational development, and I'm proud of what we have done in my tenure here at the center, but I really felt that the center has feel that it has grown and in prestige and in status, and that the center itself really deserved new leadership.
So it just seemed like the right time to you.
It did. You know, you may have even heard me say this, Laurel, really for at least 10 or 15 years. I have been saying to our board, never, ever let me be Clara Barton, you know, the founder of the American Red Cross, and that poster that everybody knows where her hand, the back of her hand is to her forehead. I say the long-suffering Clara Barton. You know, eventually her board had to fire her to get rid of her. And so I always have wanted very much to leave at the right time for the center. And it seemed to me that it was the right time. In addition, as you know, I had some, and this was actually after my decision, but I had some little health issues that were leading up to a pretty big health issue. And I began to think pretty strongly that I wanted to divest myself of things I never thought I did very well, management. And I wanted to focus on things that give me energy and excite me, and that, frankly, I believe I do pretty well.
Now, John, you returned to the center after a few years as vice president for aging and end of life. Then you had a brief time with a hospice. Why did you decide to return?
Primarily because of the invitation from the board. And I knew that Myra, upon my departure last year, really less than a year ago, had asked if my leaving was permanent, and I said, you know, I don't anticipate anything outside of, you know, what at the time that I left, it was really a very personal decision around my family situation, and I said I'd welcome the opportunity to come back. I was not going to candidate myself for the position because I knew at the time that she had already made the decision to move on, but that I would be open and welcome to an invitation. And I received that invitation from two very important people who represent this organization in the community, and it was very humbling to receive that invitation, and I seriously considered it.
In a news release announcing the move, you called Myra the First Lady of Bioethics, a nicely turned phrase.
Well, it's true. I've been in the field pretty much exclusively since I've been here, the 7 years or so. But even before that, I've known Myra for 20-some years, and I've always had great respect for her wisdom, her charism, and her ability to make things happen. And there really isn't anybody that I'm aware of. She's mentioned before that, yeah, there are, but they're all deceased, and so she's assumed this title because of the fact that they're gone. But it's... it's very true that she is really the spokeswoman of bioethics in this country.
And now you have quite a track record to follow.
I will never want to we talked about handing the baton and finishing the race and doing it on the track, but there are no aspirations in my part to fill the shoes that she has so aptly done in this organization. This is a different role for me and hopefully a different role for her, and we're going to work together to make it the best possible for everybody.
Well, and Laurel, you know, people very graciously say, oh, these are big shoes to follow. Well, I do wear a size 11, but, you know, beyond that.
I was going to point that out one time. I wear it less than an 8, so filling is 11 isn't going to happen, so there's no aspirations on my part there.
But, you know, I said to the board at the time that I made this decision that should I be cloned and my clone come and apply for this job, to slam the door. Because the center doesn't need my leadership anymore. It needs new leadership. I mean, that's really the impetus for this. So I would never, ever want you, John, to feel that you had to do anything because of what I have done or what I've said. I'm excited about what you're going to do and what you're going to say. And, you know, I think I have a really good boss. So I'm looking forward
Thank you.
To working with you.
Well, speaking of the track record, though, let's look back a little bit. Myra, if you could point to one thing that is different today than it was 27 years ago when you started this experiment, as you call it, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be hard to point to a single accomplishment of the center over a 27-year track record. But I will answer that question both lightheartedly and seriously. When the center started, there was discussion about whether it, as you know, it was Midwest Bioethics Center, whether it should be Midwest Bioethics Center or Midwest Healthcare Ethics Center or Midwest Medical Ethics Center. You know, our first publication was called Midwest Medical Ethics. No one really knew what the word bioethics even meant. I have said, but this is not really a joke. I think people think it is. But if we ever got calls, people thought we had something to do with environmental cleanup.
Hmm.
You know, they had no idea what bioethics meant. And both of you have heard me say that my dream was that in medical decision-making or in policy decision-making about healthcare, that ethics would be considered and have the same import and significance as clinical standards or legal concerns or financial resources. And I do believe that bioethics has been fully integrated into healthcare now. In fact, there's part of me that thinks sometimes that bioethics has had disproportionate influence. But I think that would be the thing I would point to.
So, John, in a nutshell, what are your goals and objectives for the Center for Practical Bioethics?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to stay the course. I think that the work that Myra and including myself over the last, you know, 7 or so years have invested in the organization, as among all the other professionals here, is really trying to take this conceptual framework that we have about these things matter to human beings. You know, these are not ivory tower issues that we deal with. And take those real troubling, knotty issues and try to make them real for families and help them resolve the questions and issues that they face throughout their lives and in dealing with the healthcare system. That's the most important thing. I mean, people think of bioethics as being some of this ivory tower experiment, and it's really not. And I think that's the true gift of the center to the people. And my hope, and that's really my background, is really kind of doing this in a practical way and trying to figure out how we make this real for people. And I'm as invested in that as anybody, and I hope to be able to continue the work that Myra has, I think, really established a firm ground here for. There's great foundation for that, and I think that's what people look to the center for, is to say, help us make sense of this to my mother, to my dad, to my sister, to my kids. And that's what it's about.
Myra, your plans then as the Kathleen M. Foley Chair for Pain and Palliative Care?
Well, I have a pretty full agenda right now.
Boy, what a big surprise that is.
As you know, Laurel, I had the privilege of serving on an Institute of Medicine committee that reported to Congress at the end of June and just published the report to the general public in the middle of November, and looking at the undertreatment of chronic pain. And so I intend to spend the rest of my working life establishing the Foley Chair by advancing the recommendations that were set forth in that report. And we are working on now at least two projects, and there are potentially three or four projects that will come out of the center based on that. One is a national alliance, which we very cleverly call PAINS, which stands for the Pain Action Alliance to Implement a National Strategy. And I'm very pleased that we have about two dozen organizations that have agreed to work with us on that, professional organizations, advocacy groups. In the IOM report, we also call for community-based approaches. And there is this will be a bit will sound a bit hubristic. There's no place better to develop a community-based approach than Kansas City, and no group in Kansas City, in my opinion, any better than are we at doing that. So we are going to do a community-based project called Relieving Pain in Kansas City to translate the IOM report into terms that make sense here. I also have become very interested in safety net clinics and their role in treating pain for their special population of people, because that population disproportionately bears the burden here. And so I'm excited about working on all three of those things, and I was just approached today about a fourth project. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, finally, Myra, your story about how this center endeavor began takes us back to a promise that you made at the graveside of your mother. Is it fair to say that you kept that promise?
Well, Laurel, you've heard this story too many times. I'm sure many people would probably say that. The story is that at my mother's graveside, I promised myself that I would spend the rest of the days of my life working to see that other families had the same kind of meaningful, positive experience that we did with the loss of my mother, but that it would not be so hard for them. And I have said, and it was true, I had not a clue what that promise would mean. I thought it meant to come home and start a hospice organization in Kansas City. And I did that. I was a charter member of the board of the Visiting Nurse Association Hospice, and I'm very proud of that work. I could never have imagined that that promise would lead me to be the founding director of the center. I studied with and worked with one of our founders, Dr. Uffelman, Hans Uffelman, for 7 years, and I had breakfast with him this morning and thanked him for the wonderful privilege that I have had to lead this organization, and they're trusting me with the vision that they had. So I just said in an email before I just walked in here, I'm really very proud of the work that we've done, but there is so much more to do. So I intend to be faithful to that promise and to do it as the Kathleen M. Foley Chair in Pain and Palliative Care.
Myra Christopher is the Kathleen M. Foley Chair for Pain and Palliative Care. John Carney is President and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.